listening to the Broadcast Basement On Demand Radio Network.
It's the podcast in the Broadcast Basement.
BroadcastBasement.com.
Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day it's different. They change, but they don't know what they want. All they do is change. Going left, going right, travel day, travel night, that's where we'll go. No excuses, no goodbyes, no one cries, no one lies, we'll never know.
How are you reacting to the beginning of this season? How are you reacting to an opening day victory? Even though I don't know when they're going to win their next one, at least you won that.
Well, the bad part was is people kind of came down on me a little bit because I wasn't as excited about the opening day victory as I could have been because, I mean, the Cubs pretty much opened the door with, I believe it was around 11 walks and weren't hitting well themselves for us to just, like, shellack them. And we allowed them to be in it the whole time. So I'm just kind of like the honest Pirates fan. I'm not like completely up, and I'm not going to like tell you things are great, and I'm not going to tell you things are terrible. I'm just going to be honest and tell you I saw a lot of things I liked during the first game, but I was also kind of disappointed in Chad Kuhl's start and disappointed that when we got runners in scoring position, we couldn't bring them around.
Right. And I'm going to go back to something that I've talked about all offseason. Wins and losses, as much as it hurts people to hear, don't matter as much this year. It's certain guys. Ke'Bryan Hayes already ending up on the IL, that sucks worse than any loss, right?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Because you want to see him play. You're watching to see whether or not Brian Reynolds becomes the Brian Reynolds of 2019. And you're watching a guy by the name of Mitch Keller, which I'm sure you're going to talk to Matt Capps about here in a few moments. He's our guest today on Bucks in the Basement, who has a rough first outing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was sitting there, you know, just had Easter, early Easter dinner, and my nephew, like, kind of turns to me, and it was the beginning of the third inning, and he said, do you think that Mitch is going to make it five today? And right after it started, I said, man, I don't even know if Mitch is getting out of this inning. He just gets behind in counts, struggles with the walks, and that's like his biggest thing because he gave up two hits yesterday. He struck out four, but he walked four, and he always seems to put guys on base before those hits. He just can't get out of his own way. It's terrible, man. And we were talking about this last week, and Matt and I, I'm sure, will get into it a little bit about, you know, taxing the bullpen, and it's okay when, you know, your pitchers aren't stretched out and they can't make it to, you know, the fifth or sixth inning because they're not stretched out to that point. But if they're not getting to the fifth or sixth inning because they're, you know, like Mitch Keller was Sunday, he got to 77 pitches through three innings. That's just awful. Brubaker left the game on Monday night after four innings because he was up over 80 pitches. That's where it kind of concerns me more. And even with Brubaker, I don't think Brubaker was pitching horribly, but just allowing those free passes, that cuts down on, like, it eventually cuts down on an inning or two. Like, Brubaker, if he was cruising a little bit more, probably could have easily gone six innings tonight. If Keller didn't put the guys on, then he goes five innings. And the magic that can work for your bullpen to give guys a couple days of rest and not forcing them, you know, each bullpen guy to go, you know, instead of going one inning to be able to push it to two innings or having to bring in a long reliever to go three innings. That stuff kind of adds up. And right now you won't see it. Because the bullpen's performing well. I mean, they are, like, keeping the team in games for the most part. But this is, like, it's like the war of attrition. Like, it'll just start to add up. And especially, like you're talking about, you're looking for Keller to improve upon, you know, what he did during his first 2 years, which were limited. The first time because of, you know, being bounced up and down. The second time because of injury. It's still coming out in his third year. I mean, the guy's, he's 25 years old now. It's time to take the kid gloves off, and he has to do better, Chris. He has to do better.
You don't have a quality start yet. That's for sure. You don't have anything close to a quality start yet. So there's a lot of things they got to figure out. And that goes back, though, to looking at Mitch Keller, because all eyes are on him because he's the one you want to see him come out and do something. You want to see some kind of progression. I don't know if we're going to see it. And if we don't see it, I don't know what you're supposed to do. I mean, you can't believe that the guy's ruined because of the way that they brought him up, sent him down, brought him up, sent him down back in 2019 when we said that was a terrible idea. There's got to be a solution. So I would imagine that our guest coming up here next is going to have one. So let's talk to Matt Capps. He's here next. Then we'll be back. We'll talk a little bit about the week ahead, what's going on with the Pirates. We'll take a look at some of the hitters. We're going to try to find the positives in the start to this season. This is Bucks in the Basement, found everywhere podcasts can be found and always at bucksinthebasement.com.
You got to hear him. You got to see him over, you know, the last week or so of spring training. We brought back our old friend, Matt Capps, the Mad Capper, to talk a little Pirates baseball. Matt, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me again.
We definitely want to hear about your experience down there and how everything was. But the first thing I want to talk about, man, is the receptive welcome you got from Pirates fans. And I'm going to tell you, as a Pirates fan, we're a little bit overcritical at times. And all of the feedback and everything, I don't know if you saw it on social media and everything, everybody's saying they love Matt Capps, you know, up there in the booth. What do you think about that, man?
Well, I appreciate it. I'm humbled. I had a blast doing it, and I think, you know, the comfort that I had right out of the gate in there is a credit completely to Joe Block and Greg Brown and the professionals that they are, and they made it easy for me. But I had a lot of fun. It was great to be back around the game and back around the Pirates, and you know, you kind of – I've forgotten how many good people work in the Pirates organization and you know, just how much I love being around the sport and the sport with, you know, good people. You can't beat it. So the front office people that were there, are still there, that were there from my time, great to see them. And then, you know, crazy impressed with Ben Cherington and his presence and what he's started to build, you know, from the ground up, really. In Pittsburgh. I mean, the minor league system and the talent that he's been able to bring in, and then the atmosphere that that Shelty has created with the guys. I talked about it on the air a few times. You know, the limited exposure I was allowed to have and kind of the, you know, distance that we had to keep from the players and the tier one, tier two guys. You could just kind of see the energy, you know, and it was cool. It was fun to be around, and yeah, I'm excited to watch this team grow and play.
Before we got on here, we were talking a little bit about, like, how, you know, situation's a little bit different with the guys, you know, broadcasting from alternate places. And we saw, you know, that Brownie is there tonight calling the Reds game. But the thing I want to talk to you about that kind of goes along with that is you got to call a little bit of radio. You got to call a little bit of TV. Which one's easier and why? Or is one easier?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that one's easier than the other. It seems like the radio, the play-by-play guy, Joe and Greg, whoever's working that day, they have to work a little more. So maybe there's a little less for, you know, the color guys. But, I mean, listen, we're sitting there and we're talking to another guy that's enjoys baseball and likes baseball, and we're watching two teams play, and we're talking about it. And every now and then we get to tell a story and talk about an experience that maybe we personally have, you know, that relates to what's happening on the field. So it's, you know, I don't know that one's easier than the other, but, you know, certainly, like, I think for me, I enjoyed TV a little bit more, because the viewers could see something and then we could talk about what they're seeing. And on the, you know, the play-by-play guy has to describe it. And then, you know, you have to elaborate on the description of what's happening and really paint the picture for the listener. You know, I think TV maybe was a little easier because you're just describing what you see.
Yeah.
And you know, the viewer is able to see it as well. So, I mean, I know they can't see me while I'm talking, but, you know, I'm pointing to a TV screen and like, oh, right there. You know, when you're on radio and you say, oh, right there, it's like, oh, yeah, I have to tell you what is right there. Or this guy has to tell you what is right there. And, you know, maybe it's a little more in-depth.
Are you and David Bednar the same person? Because I don't know if I've ever seen you both in the same place at the same time. And that's been brought up by each of the broadcasters. But just joking a little bit, Matt, David Bednar does have the Matt Capps. I don't know if it's the mystique around him. I don't know what it would be, but that's who people kind of compare you to and compare him to you. Were you had to be pretty impressed with that kid down there.
He's got good stuff. I mean, I appreciate being compared to him because I don't know that my stuff is even in the same sentence. I mean, the guy's electric with what he does on the mound. You know, the mystique, I can't really speak to that because I'm just me.
Yeah.
You know, I look in the mirror and I see the same person I've seen for 37 years grow into, I guess, whatever I did and am now. But
I think you guys just both have had the kind of like just get it done attitude. Like it's just like the no nonsense. It's caring the way you guys carry yourselves.
Yeah. And that's it, you know, and that's something that I have to credit my mother for. You know, my wife and I talk about that all the time. Like, you know, Nana, my kids and my niece and nephew call my mom Nana. You know, Nana just does whatever needs to be done. You know, there's no complaining about it. There's no griping about it. There's no like, oh, I don't want to do this. It's just, all right, this needs to be done. Go do it. You know, and that kind of translated for me into my career of, all right, there's two guys on and no outs. All right, well, let's go get this guy out. And then after that guy, let's worry about the next guy. And, you know, it's kind of a teaching thing with my son right now that I'm working on is let's handle what has to be handled right now before we worry about what's next or what's tomorrow. And instead of having 30 different things going on at one time, let's do one thing and let's do it really well. And then when it's completed, we'll move on to the next one. And that can help an athlete. You know, you can. It's very easy, especially at the big league level, to get overwhelmed. And whoever is at the plate, you know, let's not worry about Joey Votto on deck or in the hole. You know, let's get this out right now, and then we'll worry about Joey Votto when he's holding the bat, standing at home plate, one pitch at a time. I mean, it sounds cliche. They put one foot in front of the other. You know, one pitch at a time, one out at a time, one at bat at a time, and before you know it, good things add up and you have a string of good starts or you have a string of good outings or you have a string of, you know, good plate appearances and you put it together. But you start worrying about what's next before this is handled, you know, the next is never going to make it.
Yeah. And there's been like a lot of talk about that recently. And it's surrounding a guy that we talked a decent amount about the last time that you were on. And then you got to see pitch in person. And that's Mitch Keller. And before we talked about him grabbing the bull by the horns, the trial by fire, when spring training, we saw him make 5 starts, go 11 innings, get 11 Ks. I think it was 8 base on balls, gave up like 23 hits, 15 earned runs, and 3 home runs. And then we're looking for him to come out and make his start yesterday. And he struggles a little bit, goes 3 innings, 4 Ks, 4 base on balls, 2 hits, 3 earned runs, gives up a home run, and he's gone after 77 pitches. Is there anything that you're, you know, as a former pitcher or just somebody analyzing the game that you're maybe seeing from him or, you know, something that, you know, may make it click for him? And what do you do with this kid right now?
For me, with Mitch Keller, it's the base on balls. It's the walks. You know, and throwing strikes is not easy to do. His stuff plays. His stuff can play in the middle of the strike zone, you know, and I talked about that a lot when I was in spring training. I watched him throw twice, and there was one ball that was hit hard off of a fastball, and that was Trey Mancini, and he went the other way, just took a base hit, took a single, and it was hit pretty hard. his start against the Braves, he threw 4 or 5 fastballs at the belt in, you know, 2-0, 3-1 counts that big league hitters should square up and tattoo somewhere, and they didn't. They mishit him. So that tells me that his stuff is electric. It tells me that he can go right after guys. But then I kind of saw the mindset of first pitch breaking ball and, 1-0 breaking balls. And it's almost like he just doesn't trust his fastball. Maybe he doesn't realize how good his fastball and his stuff can be and is. You see a lot of guys that have really, really good careers, and they have to get sent to the minors. They have to, Charlie Morton. Take Charlie Morton, for instance. He struggled in Atlanta, was sent down a couple of times and brought back up, and then he was traded to Pittsburgh and, kind of struggled the first couple of years, and then something just clicked. I don't know if it was hearing it from the right voice of, wait a minute, I can be good. I am good. Okay, so this is the adjustment I need to make. And I think for Mitch, I really shouldn't even say this because I haven't met him. I don't know what the personality is like. I've had zero, person-to-person interaction with him. But I think for Mitch, he's going to have to see a little bit of success for that confidence to come and for that confidence to come with him pitching inside the zone. And once he does start to pitch in the zone and he sees the results to come, oh my stars, hang on. The kid's going to be good. It may take some time and, it may never happen. I think it will. I think it's just one of those things we're going to have to be patient. And it may be a situation where he's a guy that's sent down to AAA to just pitch and take some pressure off of trying to turn that corner in the big leagues, go down to AAA and turn the corner there and gain that confidence and have some success and then come back to the big leagues and say, you know what? All right, there's not a whole lot of difference between AAA and the big leagues. The stadiums are bigger, the guys are more consistent, but talent wise, there's not a ton of difference. It's just consistency.
Yeah. And I think that one thing that people need to understand is what things like to me is most times ball players are harder on themselves than anyone else is. So you know what I mean? It's not like they need somebody to tell, that's not to tell them or to, get down on that. He's being harder on himself than probably anybody around him. And like you said, his one pitch, the one game that you were calling, and I think it was the one where it was playing in the zone, it had such a rise on it that the guys just couldn't catch up with it. They had no idea. It was crazy.
His 97 is different, than some other guys' 97. And I mean, his 94 is different than other guys' 94. And, we're starting to understand we're starting to really, see how we can, quantify it. That guy's 94 is different. What do you mean it's different? Well, now his spin rate and all that stuff that we're starting to understand and how it works and how it plays, maybe we can articulate why his 94 is different than other guys' 94. But, when I was playing, a hitter would come back into the dugout and be like, hey, the scoreboard says 95, but it's 100. Or they'd come in and be like, hey, 95, but you see it, It's like those guys that threw hard and just got lit up. For me, it's not Mitch Keller getting hit. It's Mitch Keller getting hit after he's walked a couple of guys and put guys on base. You're playing in the big leagues. Guys are going to get hits. Those guys are really good.
Yeah.
The key here is when they get their hits, there's not 2 or 3 guys on base in front of them because we walked a guy or we walked 2 guys. They get their hits, let them get their hits, but there's nobody on base, so there's no damage. And then you get the next guy out. You walk a couple of guys, and then a guy gets a base hit, and then, that whole confidence thing starts working the other way. You're down on yourself, you're frustrated. The other team is also all right, we can't wait to get to the bat rack and get our bat, and we're hot, feel good. We put together a little rally. Let's keep it going. So, it works on both sides of the equation there.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be something for him to work through. And right now, with the starting pitchers, it's become a regular circumstance within Major League Baseball, especially over the past few years, of starters not going as deep into games. So in the first three games, the bullpen, which has performed very well, has had to go, 14 innings in three games. But they have a 2.57 ERA. They got 19 Ks, six base on balls, only four earned runs on four hits. So they are, pitching lights out. But I was talking with Chris last time, and this is it's probably a little bit of an old school mentality, but it's the thought of taxing the bullpen. The thought of the bullpen having to go out and get, five or six innings, day in and day out, and how that can affect the team. And from your experience or just your opinion, Matt, is taxing the bullpen, is that a real thing?
Absolutely. It's not sustainable. So, yeah, you have a starter that's expected to go out and pitch every fifth day and give you some innings, give you some length. They have that downtime. If you're consistently only giving your bullpen three, four, five innings, now all of a sudden the bullpen's having to eat up, five or six innings, four, five, six innings, whatever it is. Well, guys are having to go multiple innings to make that work. And then, after you throw two innings, you should be down the next day. So if it happens again the next day, you're going to have another reliever that's going two innings. So then he's going to be down. Or you might be shorthanded, and now guys are having to take the ball, and they're throwing 3 days in a row, 4 days in a row, and, it just physically wears you out. So, you can absorb it every now and then, a couple of weeks here and there where, you have a bad start or a couple of bad starts, and that stuff can happen. But when it consistently happens, absolutely, it wears the bullpen out, it wears guys out, and then, you'll see the organization have to start making moves, and, it makes moves that nobody wants to see. You see a reliever that, deserves to be in the big leagues have to get sent down because he's been used too many days and he's not going to be able to pitch and he has options. And then they bring somebody up from AAA, and it just – a lot of things can go wrong. The game is designed for that starter to give you five, six innings, and – the bullpen to come in to either close the game out but not every day.
And like I said, some of it's just an old school thinking, because I know some teams have built themselves on not having starters that can go very long. But I still think that one team has at least that one guy that's going to go 5 to 6 innings, once every 5 days. You got to have some consistency.
That's right. You do. You look at Tampa, what they did with the opener and things like that. But, now you're changing the dynamic of your bullpen. And, now with the three batter rule and stuff like that, the game is evolving. We're not to the point yet where we have 10 guys down in the bullpen and two of them are one inning guys, your closer, your setup. And, everybody else is kind of, they call them a piggyback style.
Yeah.
Where, they can throw three or four innings. Maybe that's where the game's going. I don't know. Maybe it's headed that direction where, you see some piggyback starts and you got two guys that are basically going to make one starter and you get 3 to 4 innings out of each of them, and then you used your one inning reliever, but it's just not there yet. And I think for that to become an option for major league teams, I think we're going to have to get the 27 or 28 man rosters, and you're going to have 9 guys in a bullpen, 10 guys in a bullpen, for that to become a reality.
Hey gang, ever wonder what it's like to be a small business owner? It's confusing, weird expenses coming out of nowhere, and when you throw in health insurance, forget it. Nobody understands how that works. If you own a business, big or small, it's one of the biggest expenses you have all year long. And yet, we all wait until open enrollment at the end of the year, and then we think to ourselves, next year I'll get a jump on it. And then it's another year of paying way too much. If you're a business owner, big or small, HR representative that wants to impress the boss, give Butch Zimar of Elite Benefits of America a call. Save yourself or your boss thousands or even tens of thousands of dollars a year. Reach out to Butch right now, 708-535-3006, or shoot him an email, butch@elitebenefits.net. And be sure to check out the Zimar podcast, Don't wait till the last minute. Put Butch Zemar to work for you now. All right, so what were your impressions? What stuck out to you about what Cap said? I want to know what you really thought about what he said about Keller and possibly going to the minors.
Yeah, I mean, it was something that, you know, when we talked about it before, Chris, we were like, well, he can't go back down.
I don't want to send him down. I really don't.
I don't either, but I also see the point of, I think that Caps's point was more to having him find success. And I don't know if you run him out there, like, say, three more times and it's much of the same, like, where he's going to experience that success. I think that my impression still is to keep him rolling, but for Matt to bring that up where it's like, okay, it might need, you know, just a couple starts in the minors just to say, hey, I am that guy, that he may need that. I think that even Matt, even suggesting it, would like to avoid that as well, because he sees the potential of when he works within the zone to get hitters out. Like, his stuff is honestly that good. Like, I'm not one of those people that's like playing him up going, okay, he was a number seven prospect and so he was built up too much and maybe he's not that good. I honestly believe his stuff is that good. There's enough people that have seen his stuff to know it's that good. It's just, he has to put it together and he has to do better. So I don't want him to do that. But I think that if Matt Capps is thinking that, I'm thinking I might have to take another look at it just to get him back on the right track.
Let's talk about some of these guys. It's early in the season. Stats don't really mean very much. Some guys will get off to a hot start. Some guys will start slow. I will tell you this, Colin Moran coming out, proving us to be geniuses early on when we said this guy could be playing first base for you. You don't need him and Josh Bell to go out there and play first base, especially if there's not going to be a DH in the National League this year. And he's already got a couple of bombs. You know, he's hitting over 300. He's got an OPS over 1,000. And he's bringing it at the plate. That's a positive right now.
Yeah, and a big positive with Colin Moran, and it's something that I believe Gary brought up in one of his articles, and it's that Colin Moran has been more patient at the plate. Like, it's even with that hitting, like, you expect and you hope that power is going to be there, but he's also working the counts and not, like, swinging at bad pitches. He's not, I mean, he's getting a couple walks in there. So it's good to see from Colin Moran. And like I said, Chris, we're geniuses.
Two other guys, though, that I'm really excited to see what they did in the first couple of games, and I hope it continues to grow and blossom into something. One, Adam Frazier, at least coming out and putting some hits together. I understand that the average is low, but the OPS is in the high 800s as we sit down here and talk. So when he's getting hits, he's making solid contact. The guy who's not got a very high OPS because he's basically just hitting singles right now, and he's working his way on base, though, with a 375 on base percentage and hitting 286. If you would have told me that Brian Reynolds would come out and not look rusty and not look like he did for the entirety of 60 games last year, I would say, thank you. We need that. The power, I think, will come with time. Again, it's a small sample size, but he at least came out of the gate looking ready to go this year.
Yeah, and the other good thing is that he's struggled early on in games at times, but then he's come back and you can see adjustments in the later at bats.
So, do you think he was affected by the lack of video? Like, one of the guys they've been talking about that really was affected by the lack of video in 2020 when they took it away was JD Martinez. And now that they have this new way for them to look at video, but it's more secure, there's different rules on it. You're not going to be able to steal signs, supposedly. You're not going to be able to know what's coming, but at least the batters can see what's going on. Bringing the video back, do you think that maybe that was the key with Reynolds? Because if he's making adjustments mid-game, maybe there was something he couldn't do last year in the shortened season that he's now allowed to do again.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a possibility, Chris, because he looks more comfortable. If he doesn't get a hit the first time, he looks more comfortable and still looks confident the second time he comes up. So that's definitely something that's a possibility, because I know that it was something that Josh Bell, you know, now with the Nationals, he did an interview I read when he was down in spring training with them, that he said he didn't like not being able to see that. So maybe that's something that, you know, the Pirates hitters have taken with them, is that, you know, you just, it's almost like, you know, the quarterback sitting there on the sidelines with his little iPad looking at stuff and seeing where the adjustments are at, like in game, because, you know, sometimes you'll see a pitcher and say, okay, well, his, you know, his slider usually has this type of arc to it, but maybe this game it doesn't. And to be able to look at yourself and look at the pitcher, it might give you just a little bit of clarity. So that's something, you know, that might be there. But once again, I feel like he's been more patient and has just looked more comfortable and looked more like himself.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then